I read recently about a construction crew who poured the foundation for a building. And when they came back the next morning, the foundation was gone. I don't fully understand this. The article didn't really explain it in detail, but evidently it had sunk out of sight. So they poured another one. And the next morning they came back and it too was gone. And finally they got one to stick. But not before much expense and delay. And even then, I'm not sure I'd want to live in a house built on that foundation. I wonder where your house is going to go next week. Now, I'm afraid that's the way some people are trying to build a marriage. It is as though they poured the foundation in the Okefenokee Swamp, and now they're trying to build on it. And it isn't going very well. It's sinking. In some cases, they decide to start over again with somebody else. And unfortunately, the second marriage often sinks as well. And the cost to everybody is astronomical, especially the children. What seems to be the problem? Well, I think they have failed to realize that a solid foundation for a successful marriage requires, first of all, two mature people. That's the foundation. It isn't just a matter of finding the right person. That's important. But the more important thing is being the right person, specifically being a mature person. Now, maturity does not necessarily equal a good education or brilliance. Some extremely intelligent people are pathetically immature. While some very simple folks with very little education and very modest IQs rate very high on the maturity scale. Education or brilliance is not what we're talking about here today. Neither does maturity necessarily imply perfection. When you're talking about a peach or a plum, maturity may mean fully developed. But when you're talking about people, it simply means growing. None of us is perfect, nor will we ever be in this life. But as long as we have a teachable spirit, as long as we are willing to recognize and admit our shortcomings, and as long as we keep on growing, that's the issue, growing, then we are capable of satisfying and successful relationships that honor the Lord. Yes, marriages that honor the Lord. I want to show you a passage in Ephesians 4. We're not going to do a lot of study in the Bible today. But I do want you to see something right here in the scripture lesson this morning. I hope you noticed in verse 13 that the subject was maturity. We are all to grow into a mature person, Paul said, into the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. He is our goal, and we are to be growing toward Him. That's maturity. But I want you to see the emphasis on growing. Down in verse 15, Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into Him in all aspects, who is the head, even Christ." Grow up into Him. That's what maturity is. It's growing up into Him. Growth is the issue. Now, if maturity is the foundation for a happy marriage, then it would be good for us to know what it involves. And the list is going to vary with almost any author you read. But I'd like to suggest this morning 9 characteristics of mature people. And they're there on the outline in front of you, but I also want to put them up on the overhead. I think folks will be able to see that all right. The first one is, mature people are sensitive to others' needs. A Christian psychiatrist by the name of Armin Nicolai, who happens to be at the Harvard Medical School, writes often in Christian periodicals, and I see his name and his articles different places. He made this statement about maturity. He said, "Modern psychiatry tells us that one important element of emotional maturity is the capacity to love other people or to become sufficiently detached from personal needs and concerns so that one becomes aware of and sensitive to the needs of others." Sensitive to others' needs. In other words, A mature person has the capacity to care about other people just as much as he cares about himself. He doesn't view life as a struggle to get what he wants. He doesn't use other people to get what he wants. He considers what others want. Neither does he view life as a detached spectator, as though it makes no difference what happens to other people. He cares about what happens to other people. He stands squarely in the middle of life. He participates in life. And he does what brings joy to those around him in life. He's not isolated and detached. He's sensitive to others' needs. Now, it's impossible even to say that without thinking about our Lord Jesus. He's the embodiment of all maturity. He is the goal toward which a mature person is growing in Ephesians chapter 4. And he voluntarily submitted himself to death by crucifixion for our eternal benefit. Paul said in writing to the Romans over in chapter 15 and verse 4, he pleased not himself. The reproaches of them who reproached thee fell on me, he said. In other words, the anger of other people against God all came on him, and he bore that for our sakes. He didn't please himself. He pleased his Father, and he pleased us. And that's the way he wants us to live. And as we grow in his likeness, then we're going to do what Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 4. We'll not look out only for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. Not for our own personal well-being, but also for the well-being of others. That's a mature person. Now, we're not going to be perfectly unselfish overnight. Growth, that's the issue. We need to grow. Babies are notoriously self-centered. They view other people as basically a means to satisfy their own needs, to give them food and to keep them warm and dry and to soothe their hurts. And all too often, that attitude persists into adult life. We view other people as basically there to meet our needs. We got married, that's why we got married, because we want this person to meet our needs. Their primary responsibility is to provide us food and keep us warm and, well, I don't know about dry, but soothe their hurts and that sort of thing. That's why they're there. Immature people view others as the means of getting their own way. They think primarily of themselves. Some experts on the human mind have said that the average person's thought life is 99% of himself. Think of that. 99% of the average person's thought life involves around his own needs. 99%! If that's true, it's an incredible statistic. Unless we grow beyond the average, folks, we're not going to have an adequate foundation for a marriage. They're going to be building in the swamp. Maturity is the foundation for a successful marriage, and mature people are sensitive to the needs of others. Second, they're adaptable to changing circumstances. Many of us find it difficult to handle change, particularly when we're not adequately prepared for it. It comes quickly and unexpectedly. We want things to go our way. We like them to run smoothly for us and to be satisfactory to us. We expect people to act as we want them to act. And if they don't, we get irritable and we get cross. And our joy evaporates. And sometimes our sense of humor disappears. And sometimes we begin to scold and criticize the people around us who aren't measuring up and who aren't making things go well for us, who are causing us unpleasant changes. That's the way children act. And children are not capable of developing the kind of a relationship required in a good marriage. I tell you, one way to grow in this area would be, and I realize everybody can't do this, but would be to spend some time on the mission field. That would do wonders in breaking down that rigidity and developing some flexibility and adaptability to change. Because few things happen the way you expect them to happen on most mission fields of the world. I was talking to a missionary from Africa just a few weeks ago who told me about getting delayed in an airport in some foreign country. It was a third world country. Planes were not flying because there was some political unrest in the country. Of course, when those things happen, they just shut all the planes down. So they were stuck in the airport. But they wouldn't let them leave the airport because they didn't have visas. So they said, well, let us call our office and the American Embassy, and we'll get visas. Then, well, no, you can't make any contacts. So here they are, stuck in the airport, because they don't have visas, and they won't let them do anything to get the visa. They slept on the floor in the airport for 3 nights. Now, I can just imagine how that would affect the average American businessman traveling with his wife. By the third day, they'd have to bring a divorce lawyer to the airport, because that's what they'd need at that stage of the game, see. When you live in that kind of environment for a while, you begin to grow. You have to either grow up or you crack up, one or the other. That's your choice. So you learn to be flexible, to take life as it comes, to roll with the punches. You learn to laugh at things rather than to get angry. You learn to take yourself less seriously. Boy, that's a lesson most of us need to learn. And you learn to find your joy and your pleasure in the Lord and in each other and in the simple things of life rather than in pleasant and predictable circumstances. That's the goal, you see. That's where we need to be growing toward. Finding our joy in the Lord and in each other and in simple things. Not in the fact that everything has to be the way we want it to be and it can't change. Okay, just living through a number of years isn't going to do that. Time won't accomplish it. Age does very little for us in our personalities except just make us more what we already are. The crotchety get more crotchety and the critical get more critical. And the loving and forgiving become more loving and forgiving. We don't achieve emotional maturity simply by putting in time on this planet. That isn't the answer. How then do we do it? How do we become an adaptable person in the face of changing circumstances? Well, maybe you can't go to the mission field. I imagine some could. It'd be a good way to grow. Better do a little growing first, though. You know, not everybody who gets to the mission field is mature, and sometimes it causes problems there. Yeah, I would suggest a way to do it, and that is to begin focusing your attention on the Lord, right here and now. The Lord. He's the one who said the steps of a good man are ordered by Him. They're established by Him. In other words, the course of life and all that enters our lives is there by God's permission and by God's appointment. Because He knows it's best. He delights in all those things. Remembering that God's in control is going to go a long way toward helping us grow and become more joyfully adaptable to changing circumstances. To remember that God has allowed this situation, whatever it is, however unpleasant it may be, think about it. Learn to think first in life that God, the eternal, omnipotent, all-wise God of the universe, has allowed this thing. It will help you to be joyfully adaptable to changing circumstances. It will help you grow up. Be mature. Mature people are sensitive to other needs and adaptable to changing circumstances. And that's, of course, the foundation for a successful marriage. Third, they are stable through trying times. Spiritually and emotionally mature people are able to accept unpleasantness, disappointment, delay, and even failure with calmness and stability and inner peace. Now, this is a little different from this one. This is adaptability and flexibility. Now we're talking about inner peace. They go together. You probably won't have one without the other. But they're slightly different. They have a high tolerance level for frustration. They maintain control when the trials come. They're not afraid of trials because they know that sometimes difficult things work together for the ultimate good. In fact, if you're a child of God, they always do. God said that. All things work together for good to those who love God. All things. And they believe that. They hold on to it. And they're willing to sacrifice immediate pleasures for what is ultimately good. They don't need to have things their way right now. They have a calmness about them in the face of trials. I don't know whether you saw Peanuts a few weeks ago in our local newspaper, but this was worth repeating. I'll tell you, this is good. Remember this one? Lucy's in her psychiatrist booth giving Charlie Brown some advice. And maturity is what you should strive for, Charlie Brown. A mature person is a patient person, somebody who doesn't demand everything now. Charlie says, that's good to know because I can't pay you until tomorrow. Tomorrow? Are you out of your mind? Boy, I like that. I'm afraid that pretty well sums up what a lot of us are like, that Charles Schulz has a great insight into life. You want to get a good philosophy lesson, read Peanuts. Hey, it's there. All intelligent people read the comics, isn't that right? Immature people are paralyzed by fear and worry and anxiety that things aren't going to turn out well for them. They don't have an inner peace. They go to pieces instead. There's not a stability there or an inner strength or a peace. And they torpedo a marriage. They worry about everything. You know, they worry about money. They keep the atmosphere tense over money. They worry about the children. They argue over how they ought to be disciplined. The word relocation comes up. A move. Transfer. And they just fly to pieces over it. They keep the whole household in a state of agitation. More than one marriage has been sunk by a worry wart. Unless we're growing, folks, we have no adequate foundation for a marriage. We're still trying to build in the swamp. Maturity is the basis for a good marriage. And mature people are stable through trying times. They have a settled inner peace because they know a sovereign Lord who controls all things and who only does what's best. He says that, and we believe it. And so the mature person learns to trust him and to take everything to him in prayer, as he's invited to do in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Everything. In everything, it says, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A mature person does that. He's stable through trying times. Fourth, he's accepting of other people. Sometimes people are a pain, right? You ever feel like God made a mistake when he created the human race? This world would be a great place to be if it weren't for people. Some are different from us, and we don't understand them, so we hold them at arm's length. Some disagree with us, and that threatens us, so we defend our position vehemently. Some doubt us, or maybe even defame us. And that angers us, so we strike out at them to even the score. Those are all immature responses. And unfortunately, those immature responses invade a marriage and sabotage a good relationship. They keep everybody on edge and uptight, ready to snap and bite, because we just can't accept people the way they are. Mature people are growing in their acceptance level. They're secure enough in God's love and acceptance, they don't have to get angry and defensive. They can accept divergent opinions without taking it as a personal affront. They can even take criticism without holding it against the person who offers it. They're even confident enough to be maligned and misrepresented without retaliating. They live in Ephesians 4, down around verses 31 and 32. If your Bible's still open to Ephesians 4, look at, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God also in Christ has forgiven you. Boy, they're great verses. That's a mature person described in those two verses. Somebody who can accept other people and forgive them for what they do without trying to retaliate, and reach out to them with kindness. They're accepting of others. Fifth, mature folks are willing to give of themselves. Of course, this is very much like number one. There's some overlap here. But we're talking basically about the characteristic of being unselfish. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13:5, when he said, love does not seek her own. And because it doesn't seek its own, it does kind things. Love is also kind. Just as kindness was spoken of in that verse in Ephesians 4. Be kind one to another, verse 32. So people who are mature do kind and generous things for others. They're not only sensitive to their needs, they do something about their needs. They love to serve, in other words. Not to get something back in return, but just for the satisfaction of helping others. They aren't asking things like, well, what has he ever done for me? Or, why do I always get the dirty work? Or things like that. They just like to do things for other people. They speak kindly to others. They give kind words when they're giving. They're willing to give of themselves. And one of the things they give are kind words. Not simply because they want people to like them, but because they enjoy making folks feel good about themselves. That brings pleasure to them to make others feel good about themselves. They also give a sympathetic listening ear and a warm, understanding response. Response. Did you hear that, husbands? Response. They give people the happy feeling that they're worth something. They're worth listening to. Their ideas are worth considering. They're worth far more than they ever thought they were. They give of themselves for the good of others. Their hearts are filled with kindness, and that generates a giving spirit. It's a solid foundation on which good marriages are built. Anything less is like building in the quicksand. Anything less. Maturity is the foundation for a good marriage. Sixth, mature people are committed to what is right. Committed to what is right. To quote psychiatrist Nikolai again, another aspect of maturity is a sound, consistent conscience with well-defined moral precepts, a clear understanding of what is right and wrong. Now that's basically what the Bible teaches. Maturity is doing what's right. Doing what is right. God said that through Samuel to King Saul in the Old Testament. To obey is better than sacrifice. You want to know something that's more important than even you being here in church this morning? It's doing what God wants you to do according to his word. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey me. Do what's right. Mature people do what's right. Now that's contrary to what the secular world says, I know. They say that mature and sophisticated people will find greater meaning in life by rejecting traditional moral values and by expressing more openness and more freedom. But I tell you, a lot of folks have tried that and found to their utter dismay and despair that it isn't so. It just isn't so. What they found instead of more meaning is emptiness and worthlessness and self-contempt and disillusionment and guilt by disobeying the word of God. Don't tell me you find more meaning in life by disobeying God. I know different. I've talked to too many people who've given testimony to it. Too many. Spiritually and emotionally mature people are not in rebellion against the laws of God and men. Rebellion, folks, is an evidence of immaturity. It's the product of childishness and self-centeredness. I wish you could sit in any pastor's office and listen to the stories of husbands and wives who have disregarded the principles of God's word or willfully turned their backs on them, and as a result have lost the most precious things in life to them, specifically their families. All because they refused to do God's will. Maybe it was unfaithfulness to their marital partner. Or maybe it was just an unwillingness to fulfill their biblical responsibilities. They knew what they had to do. They knew the needs of their mate, and yet they refused to do it. And they lost everything that was precious. They won't tell you they did that because they were mature. Most of them won't anyway. They'll be more honest than that. Nearly all will admit they did it to satisfy their own selfish desires. And that is immaturity. Maturity is the foundation of a successful marriage, and maturity is being committed to what is right. Seventh, mature people are dependable in fulfilling their responsibilities. The lives of the immature are strewn with unfinished jobs, broken promises, and good intentions that were never carried out. Immature people often fail to do what they're supposed to do, or be where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. If they do show up, they're usually late. And they probably haven't called to explain that they've been detained. And they'll probably stretch the truth a wee bit just to make it look a little less serious than it really is. In a word, they're undependable, unreliable, untrustworthy. If I were to ask you this morning to pick one person in the Bible next to the Lord Jesus who epitomized spiritual and emotional maturity, who would you pick? Now, that's a hard question to answer without giving it a great deal of thought. But I'll tell you one who would be high in the running if we took a vote and gave you 5 or 10 minutes to think about it. In fact, he might be right up near the top next to the Lord Jesus. And I gave some thought to this. And one of the men in the Bible, of course men or women, but one of the people in the Bible that I would choose would be Daniel. Daniel was a man who epitomized maturity. But he was a man who stood for what was right and did what was right dependably and faithfully, even when all others around him yielded to sin. He did it even as a youth, and he carried it right through his life all the way. He could be trusted to do what was expected of him, what God expected, and what was right before men, what was right. In fact, on one occasion, his fellow princes tried to find something against him to discredit him with the king. And they looked and looked at his life and tried to examine and find something. And it says they couldn't find anything. And I quote, "Inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence was to be found in him." That comes out of Daniel 6, verse 4. He was faithful and no negligence was found in him. Wow, what a testimony. That's maturity, you see. That's the kind of person who lays a firm foundation for a good marriage. Eighth, mature people are aware of their identity. They have a realistic perspective of themselves. They know who they are, and they can accept themselves as God made them. They live in Psalm 139, those verses from about verse 13 through verse 16, where the psalmist talks about being made by God, being formed by Him, even before the worlds were made, in the mind of God, we were formed just the way God wanted us to be. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalmist says. And a person who's mature can accept himself the way God made him. He doesn't have to be constantly reassured of his worth by the people around him in order to dispel his feelings of inferiority. He doesn't need to put others down to make himself look good. He can be himself and admit his weaknesses without defensiveness. He doesn't have anything to prove. And he doesn't have anything to lose. He just accepts from God what God made of him. Mature people allow, their maturity allows them to minister to their mate's needs rather than demand that their own ego needs be met, because they know who they are. It helps, you see, to have a sense of identity. I think there's something else in that sense of identity, too. And this also came out of Armin Nicolai, an article I read by him on maturity. He says, mature people have learned to face the truth of their own mortality. In other words, they know they're going to grow old and someday die if Jesus doesn't come back first. They know that. And it doesn't bother them. They don't get upset about it. They aren't desperately trying to look younger than they are and act younger than they are, as though the success of their marriage is hinged on eternal youthfulness. They've grown beyond that place. They're free to cultivate an inner beauty that glorifies God and that counts for eternity. An inner strength of character that makes for stable marriages. It's all part of the firm foundation. It's all part of being aware of their identity, their humanness. Well, sensitive to others' needs, adaptable to changing circumstances, stable through trying times, accepting of other people, willing to give of themselves, committed to what is right, dependable in fulfilling responsibilities, aware of their identity. One more. And that is balanced in all of life. They're learning to control every area of life, their appetites, their passions, their desires, their impulses, yes, even their emotions. They have them, but they have them under control. They're not given to excess in any area of their lives. Eating, sleeping, playing, even working. You can even work to excess, to the damage and detriment of your marriage. Mature people don't do that. They have their sex lives in control. They use their time wisely. They have their mouths in control, their tempers in control. People who are growing learn to control their lives. They have life in balance. Things like balance between being dependent on others and being independent. There is a balance in life, and we need to find that balance. Being organized and being spontaneous, there's a balance there. We need a little bit of both. There's a center point, you see. Being alone and being with others, there's a balance. Being dedicated to facts and being sensitive to people's feelings, there's a balance. Sure, we need to do things by the book. Dedicated to what's right, yes. We also need to be sensitive to other people's feelings. There's a balance. Mature people are learning to find the balance in life. They aren't tilted one way or the other. Well, they're not perfect, but they're growing, and they have a purpose in life, and that purpose is to glorify God. They live in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. They want to do that. And so that determines, you see, the decisions and choices they make in life. They with purpose and dedication choose the balanced route that's going to glorify God. That dedication to purpose helps choose what's best for the relationship, for instance, rather than necessarily for what I would just like to do, what would be preferable for me if I'm mature. My purpose, my desire for balance, and my dedication to purpose is going to help me choose what's best for us, not just for me. They can do that because they keep all of life, or at least are learning to keep each aspect of their lives in balance. It's part of the solid foundation for a successful marriage. Gets us out of the swamp, you see. Now I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 5. We've seen 9 commonly accepted traits of mature people. Traits suggested by students of human personality. These things come out of books written by psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors. They're commonly accepted traits of maturity. Even secular writers will list many, if not all, of these things. It astounded me, it absolutely astounded me to discover that these are the very same traits which the Spirit of God wants to produce in us. Look at them again. We've seen them before. What is a sensitivity to others' needs but love? That's a perfect description of agape love. Wanting the best for others as much as for ourselves. We spent 8 weeks in 1 Corinthians 13, and the essence of all that we learned is that love seeks the greatest good and the welfare and the benefit for its object, even at its own expense, not making demands in return. That's sensitivity to others' needs. Love. Adaptable to changing circumstances. That's exactly what a joyful person does. He adapts without getting grumpy when things don't go exactly the way he would like them to go. Joy.
It's a fruit of the Spirit, folks. Stable through trying times. That's nothing more than peace. That's what peace is. It's a perfect description of God's peace. Fourth, accepting of other people. King James says long-suffering. It's a good word. NASB says patience. Patience with people, the word means. Not with circumstances, but with people. Long-suffering. Fifth, willing to give of themselves. That's the essence of kindness, which is probably a better translation than gentleness in the King James. Kindness. Willing to do things for the good of others. Not just be sensitive to their needs, but do something to help them in their need. Committed to what is right. Could there be a better description of goodness than that? That's what goodness is. Dependable and fulfilling responsibilities. That's exactly what the word faithfulness means. Exactly. Aware of their own identity. Gentleness, the NASB says. But the idea of meekness is also in that word. It means both. Most modern translations are choosing the gentleness side of it. But the meekness side of the word is there. A willingness to accept God's dealings with us without resistance. To accept ourselves as God made us. A realistic view of ourselves. That's part of that gentleness and meekness. Aware of our own identity. Knowing who we are. Knowing our humanity. Admitting it. Being able to acknowledge our weaknesses. It's all part of meekness. The word is a broad word. It has so many ramifications and implications. But this is one aspect of it anyway. Ninth, balanced in all of life. Why, that's nothing more than self-control. Self-control. Now, while immaturity often is the result of the way we were raised, and some professional counsel may help us identify some problem areas and help us deal with them, folks, I am convinced that the power of God's Spirit working within us can help us grow toward maturity. I think it's really one of the keys. I think there is a far closer relationship between emotional maturity and spiritual maturity than most of us have ever recognized. Far closer. What we really need if we want to be mature people is to get right with God, folks. That's what we need. We need to yield our lives to, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And we need to walk in the Spirit. We're right back to where we were a month ago when we talked about harmony in the home. We came to the ultimate conclusion that harmony comes through being right with God. That's what makes us right with each other. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit? Let's review it again. Same thing we said last month. There needs to be a holy dissatisfaction with our present spiritual level and the sins in our lives and a hunger after God. That's where it begins. A hunger after God. And then as we examine our lives in the light of God's Word, there has to be an honest acknowledgement of sin and a willingness to accept full responsibility for it. Not blame it on somebody else or blame it on our genes, our upbringing, but say, I am the way I am because that's the way I am and I know God wants me to change. And Lord, I confess to you that I'm a sinful person and I've fallen short of your standard in these areas. Confession of sin. And having done that, then we need to yield our wills to God's will. In other words, we need to choose willfully to obey Him. I'm going to make up my mind that I will do what God wants me to do. That's yieldedness. And as long as we're saying, yes, I know what the Word says, but that isn't what I want to do. As long as we're there, we have never really yielded our wills to God's. It's absolutely essential. Yield your will to Him. And then just live in His presence. Recognize that God's in control of your life. See His hand in every situation. Consult Him about every circumstance. Just allow the Lord to be a part of everyday living. Be conscious of His presence. And then learn to depend on His power, acknowledging your own weakness and inability to be the person God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do, and claim the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. And the result's going to be maturity. The fruit of God's Spirit. And maturity is the foundation of a good marriage. And we can struggle and struggle and struggle to build that relationship, and it's going to keep sinking until we begin to grow. And this is how it comes, basically, or at least where it begins for the child of God. If you'll turn your life over to the Spirit of God, you're going to begin to grow. And you get your marriage out of the muck and on a solid foundation. And the Lord will be honored. And you will experience His joy in your life. Now, you can't do that unless you've been born again. Unless you're a child of God. Unless you've acknowledged your sin and received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's where it begins. If you haven't done that, make that decision today. And then you can begin to grow. Let's bow together in prayer. Bowed prayerfully in God's presence. Now, let's think through what we've heard today. Are you mired down in a muck of immaturity? Do you know you need to grow? And you'd like to grow. Are you ready to begin? If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, why not start there? Acknowledge your sin right now. Tell Him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for my sin. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Now, Christian, are you ready to yield your life to Him? Give up all claim to your will and submit yourself to His will. And begin living in His presence, sharing all of life with Him, depending on His power. He'll begin to produce His fruit in you. And that's what you need, His fruit, in order to have successful relationships, whether relationships in marriage or with your children or with others in your life, other friends and relatives and business associates. The fruit of the Spirit will help you in every relationship. Yield your life to Him, will you? Father, I pray that You'll take these thoughts this morning and use them to bring about great growth in our lives. God, we need a truly Spirit-sent revival in our hearts, where we acknowledge our sin and maybe shed some tears over them and get our lives right with You and begin to obey You. Lord, help us to do that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.